Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
Yo, you know what day it is? It's Thursday. And you know what that day is? It's Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313 coming to you live from Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. And I'm here. I'm your host of Southwest Texan Day-Day Cruz with my brother Greg DeMarc. What's going on, brother?
Good evening. Man, what an evening. And I'm still going through it. I'm sorry if I'm a little distant this evening. And, plans change on the road right now. I have to go pick something up in Romulus, which we can elaborate more if you want. That's what's going on.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Drop it on the floor.
All right, so I have not even been able to talk to my brother. Like, this is all, like, transpired all day. I've been so busy trying to get off work. So, as some of you might know, I purchased a wrestling ring. It was supposed to be here like 6 months ago. And I need it for the New Breed show on Sunday. And we're pushing it. So they finally ship it Monday. And the place that's trucking it doesn't pick it up Monday. And they pick it up Tuesday and they held it in Kentucky for a couple of days. So long story short, it arrives in Detroit. I finally get someone on the line, and they say, yeah, we'll bring it to you next week. I'm like, that doesn't work. So I am going to get it right now from the UPS freight place in Romulus.
Nice. I'm excited for you, brother, and that's just going to be...
What a nightmare. This is a nightmare.
No, but still, doesn't matter. A nightmare of you know what I'm saying. You're gonna make so it's exciting. That's all I can say. It's exciting.
And your son's gonna grow up in this ring.
Because you know how many people look. Listen, I'm gonna put it like this. Do you know how many deathmatch name brand deathmatch wrestlers that are gonna be in your ring?
Oh my gosh!
Just with all the deathmatch promotions,
history is gonna be made in that ring. The first match ever in that ring will crown New Breed's first champion, actually. It just worked out that way. But isn't that cool?
Yeah, it's definitely cool.
Your son's going to grow up in that ring. Nobody can tell him he can't hit the ropes and jump off the top turnbuckle except you and his mama.
that's it. He's going to try to do it like at 6 months, and I'm going to be like, no.
Right. At 2, he'll be jumping off the first rope. 3, he'll be on the second rope. By the time he's 5, he'll be coming off the top.
Doing a moonsault.
Right.
Yeah.
Perhaps with a moonsault.
You know, he's gonna do a moonsault landing on us, and we're going to take the bump. Nope, we're going to have Zeke in the way. He's going to moonsault Zeke.
Yes.
He's going to insult Zeke.
I need to ask Zeke my my irate question, and Teddy Long didn't. I take it from his answer that, you know, it is an irate that they, actually you went on the line. Is an irate that disqualifiable? You were actually getting a hold of school paper when I asked him that question. Him being a legendary referee, well respected, is an irate a disqualifiable offense? Because, man, the irate gets you out of a lot of jams, and you know. I'm the fan of a heel. A heel's a smart winner. You know what I mean? It's, man, hey, see a little guy. You learn, you know what I mean, especially being a wrestling fan, not everybody's going to love you. And if you can embrace who doesn't like you, that's, dude, I can dig that, man. That's, you know what I mean, to me, those are the role models for the bullied kids, are the heel. They're, you know what I mean, they're bullied by everyone. By man.
All
right, fine. If that's how you feel,
I agree with
you. I'll embrace that. I'll be that.
Talking about Teddy Long, man, Teddy Long, everybody at SWE, I want to change shift changes, dude. I've been wanting to talk about this all week, is the SWE demolition at Dean's ranch. It's in Dean Ranch. It's at Dean Ranch, Dallas, Texas, dude. They got such a stacked card, man. They got, man, such matches. Let me go down the list. I've been posting this all week.
Oh, yeah, dude.
The Women's Championship, Christy James. Christy Jane defends her women's championship against Ivelisse. Man, they got Kaz XL with Melina versus Savage King. They got Hernandez. I believe they're probably going to do an open challenge for him. You know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? They're getting bigger and better. Like Teddy said, they don't need nobody to co do shows with. They do it all their own, dude. Teddy Long and SWE, dude. They're doing it ever since. I've been having my eye on SWE for like a few weeks now. I'm not gonna say, you know what I'm saying, but before Teddy Long came on, I started you know, seeing SWE on Facebook, and I've been seeing, that's how, you know what I'm saying, I seen Teddy Long also. So SWE Fury, dude, they got Crimson versus Jake Dane. They got Max Castillo versus Ryan Moonsaw Manto. Man, it's such a stacked card, dude. They got Marty Bell from NWA versus Miranda Gordy. They got such, man. I want to see what they're gonna have next, because they just got a stacked card. I want to see that whole show when it all comes together.
Yeah, man, dude, the Flyer is a stacked show. There's another stacked show coming up in New Jersey, man. Birthday something, man. Nolan Edwards and Jimmy Lloyd is one of the matches on that card. G Raver's on it. Two Cold Scorpios on the card. There's somebody just seen a few earlier today. The good card coming up, and of course, New Breed this Sunday makes their return at the Token Lounge in Westland, Michigan. It is sold out, brother.
Sold out.
Yeah, dude, I'm excited for that, too.
Watch for Facebook. They pretty much, I believe, announced all the events. The Rumble for the Gold.
The Rumble for the Gold.
It's going to be the first match.
So, is that fucking punk-ass Mitch the Bitch coming on to the show tonight, or what?
He is not. And this is... Like, everything I told you about the ring, my wife doesn't even know those things. That's how busy I've been, like, on the road, not having even been able to tell her. And I apologize I wasn't able to tell you. And we have to kind of just kill it after what I'm about to say. Mitch is not going to be appearing in New Breed.
Whoa.
So that's just that.
Okay.
So that match is not going to happen. Is there, don't know if it's been announced, be a replacement match for that, but yeah. That.
Wow.
Dude, you know what else I want to talk about? You know what else I wanted to talk about, dude, is tonight's Dark Side of the Ring featuring Nick fucking Gage, dude.
I can't wait to watch that, dude. I've seen some clips, dude, and I'm so hyped to see that shit.
Yes. It's
Nick fucking Gage.
Yeah, Nick fucking Gage, man.
I knew
I can't
Nick Gage was in prison, and I seen a clip. He tells the story, and he's like, I walked in the bank. He said, you know, one time he walked into a bank, turned around, he walked back out. He's like, I fucking pussied out. Said, I walked back in, handed Lee a note, said, I got a weapon, give me the fucking money. So he goes and takes the money to buy something, and he's like, yeah, I was told him I just robbed a drug dealer. They're all brand new fucking bills. Sticking together like a drug. That was the end of the clip. I'm like, oh my God, I want to fucking see this so bad. I want to know what led up to that. I know where he is today.
I am staying up super late past my bedtime to watch this fucking Dark Side of the Ring.
Uh-oh. That's saying something because Day Day Baby don't fucking sacrifice his beauty sleep.
Hell no, not for nobody.
There gotta be something big going on.
It has to be.
Me and Day-Day, or Cachondo Evening.
Cachondo Evening,
There are Cachondo days.
Cachondo
days don't count.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Bye. Yep, fucking,
I might have to drop off with you for a little bit. And I'm going to be back on, though, here in a few. I apologize for this evening. And, man, sometimes life don't give you no notice. And this is one of those days. But God is with me. I'm glad to be here.
Shout out to the greatest
producer in the fucking world. The process of production, Martez Ale. That's why I give him that quick shout out before I drop off for a quick minute.
The muscle behind the hustle.
That's right. All right.
Thank you,
guys. I'll be back in just a few.
All right, no problem, brother.
All right, brother.
Yeah, guys. Go ahead, brother Chess.
No, I was gonna make a joke. I was saying, it's just you, man. Like, don't let me get to start talking because I don't want to take this show down. I know you and Greg have great chemistry, but if he's not around, then I may have to talk more and I may just destroy the show. So I just wanted to let you know that.
Oh man, no, you don't destroy the show.
No, don't put me over either, man. Don't put me over.
Come on, man. It's all good. But yeah, man, are you going to be watching The Dark Side of the Ring tonight?
I may take a look at it. I got a lot of work to get into tonight after the shows. So yeah, I may look at it because I'm intrigued about this guy Nick Gage, who I don't know too much about. You know, I've been hearing you guys talk about him even way before you brought him up last week or 2 weeks ago. You guys were talking about him like a few months ago, I believe, and I'm very intrigued.
So
I may watch it.
Yeah, I think it's on at like, I want to say 10 o'clock or maybe even at 8 o'clock. I'm not sure, but I'm definitely going to be watching it for sure. But, dude, Nick Gage is one, you know, unique wrestler. He's one unique talent. Like, Greg don't believe he can put a promo over without cussing, but like Teddy Hart, and I said before Teddy Hart came on to the show, and I always believed Nick Gage can, if they train him right and pay him the right money, dude, if you get paid the right amount of money, you'll do anything that you're told. You'll do anything that you're told, even if they have to write the script somewhat.
Oh, yeah.
Because Nick, you know what I'm saying? Nick Gage is, you know what I'm saying? He's from New York and a lot of people, or New Jersey, excuse me. they do everything in New York. They big time hustlers over there in New York. So, I mean, if anything, you know what I'm saying? The old dog can be taught new tricks. as Greg said, he don't believe that can happen, but I think so.
Yeah, I mean, if they come to him, you know, they let him know, hey, you can't do this, you can't do that, and if he's okay with that, then I could see a possibility of him being able to kind of tone things down and just fall in line with what they do at AEW. So I could actually see him actually not cussing so much. You know what I mean?
Right. No, and I agree, man. And like I said, Nick, he was on my podcast. He was on my podcast, I want to say, last year. Or no, 2 years ago almost. And I'm trying to get him on this platform, but he hasn't responded. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's busy anyway because he's about to be defending that GCW Heavyweight Championship that he won back from RSP, the man he lost it to over a year ago. I want to say like a year and a half ago. So, I mean, he chased that title because, you know what I'm saying, he had stuff that he had to face, courts and everything. And, I mean, you got to face the consequences, like Teddy Hart said. You got to face the consequences like a man and do what you got to do and take care of your courts and face to face. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I absolutely do. And you are ready to go to the call, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. We go do
everybody,
something special.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, Daddy. My bad.
Everybody, welcome Mr. Coco T-Ware back to the show, Brother T-Ware. What's going on, brother?
Hey, guys, unfortunately, this isn't Coco. This is his business partner, CEO Antoine of Kayfabe the People's Band. I'm the CEO. I'm his partner. So, unfortunately, Coco, pretty good, man. Can't complain. Just to give you guys a heads up, Coco's busy working on his bass guitar. You know, working on some dope, you know, theme songs that he wants to do maybe for his birthday and maybe for a future engagement. You know, somebody wants to book the band. So right now he asked me to, you know, to come in and chime in, you know, because you put something out earlier today about AEW and, you know, how Eric Bischoff was suggesting that AEW should move to Fridays and compete with WWE. And I'm just going, wait a minute, of all people, Eric Bischoff?
I mean, you got to wait. Eric, look, I'm going to stop you right there, my friend, because Eric Bischoff was the man that put the team under, or the fire, as I should say, under Vince McMahon to win the Monday Night War. But at the same time, Vince McMahon brought him in because he knew he was a great mind in the business and almost put him out of business. So he brought him back as general manager for, I want to count for 9 years. No, was it 2002? Yeah, like 6, 7 years, maybe, I want to say.
Go ahead.
Oh, AEW, you got to think about it. They got all these other shows going on, even though there's some going on YouTube. They got Dark Elevation, they got AEW Dark, they got AEW Dynamite. And I think, why not put them at the same time spot as WWE and see where it goes from there? If they put another five, times three. You know
no,
what I'm saying? If you're Vince McMahon, still have the same mindset and the same fight that he had back in the Monday Night War.
No, I understand that. I guess for me, because ever since AEW started, the thing that annoyed me is how people so badly want a Monday Night Wars again. And you're not going to get that no more. You're not going to get that. And people need to just, like, kind of chill on that.
It should have happened,
but it's like, no, because you got to remember, man, more people were watching WCW and WWF combined than what they're doing today, all right? So that's another thing people got to remember. Yes, wrestling's going even more so mainstream now more than ever, but you got to think 20 years back, man, they was hitting ratings that was crazy. I mean, before we even knew anything about ratings, we didn't know nothing about it. Now everybody's an expert. People get on my nerves
right.
Putting up the ratings for NXT. It's like, it's NXT. Why would you put NXT and not Raw or SmackDown? Because you know more people are still tuning in, at least on average, for Raw or at least SmackDown as opposed to AEW. Now, don't get me wrong. I like AEW. I like it all. I ain't one of these people that's just hardcore, like, oh, I'm this and only this, and, you know, and disrespecting people just because it's wrestling. Y'all smile, like, chill. You know what I'm saying? People just get silly. So, anyway, as I was saying, yeah, it's like, it's wrestling, dude. We're here to enjoy ourselves. Y'all want to talk crap and keep saying, like, one guy, real quick, it was on a Facebook group, and he was basically just pissing and moaning about how stupid WWE was for going on Peacock and everything is not on there. And I'm just like, hey, they didn't want to dump all the content at one time because they didn't want servers or systems or whatever shutting down. So they're you know, just putting things at a good pace. And by later this summer, everything should be in the WWE. Oh, that's stupid. That's dumb. I says, it's not dumb. I said, do you know Peacock gave them $1 billion? And it's only for 5 years. It's only for five. So the E could decide, okay, we don't want to do this no more, but it was a win-win because, you know, the streaming game is where it's at. You know, Disney got like 100 million subscribers. Netflix got 200 million. And the WWE, you know, they're left in the dust, dude. They was getting like only like 20 million, 30 million. They weren't getting the numbers. So it was a win-win for NBC because they're like, hey, wrestling is a hot thing. You're a popular group. Hey, we got new subscribers added to the ones you already have. It's a win-win for both of us. And on top of that, we'll drop $1 billion. Now, remember, Fox already paid WWE $1 billion to do SmackDown.
Right.
WWE ain't losing, y'all. The bottom line is money. He didn't understand that. It's like, it's business, one-on-one. You know what I'm saying? And so, as I was saying before, oh, wait, hold on. Wait, Coco, give me the phone, man. Hold on. What's happening, baby?
Uh-oh, God. Uh-oh, Coco.
I am. What's happening, baby? Brother Daddy, Brother Matias. All the people on the Reddit Out 313 podcast, what's happening, Daddy? I just got a chime in on this.
Oh, Brother Jake,
what's happening, baby? Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt Brother CEO Antoine, but I had to speak thinking about this all day. And whilst I was in the middle of playing my bass guitar, playing a little bit of Randy Orton, a little bit of Kofi Kingston, and everything in between, I couldn't help but to hear my ears deceiving me. People like Eric Bischoff. Yeah, you got 83 weeks out of Vincent Kennedy McMahon. But dig the mythos on this here, Daddy. I need to back it up a little bit. Number one. Vincent Kennedy McMahon is 70-plus years old, but he's still working out, Daddy, like he going to get in the ring. And I ain't talking about he's doing Pilates and aerobics. He ain't doing no old folks stuff. He in the gym eating that real iron, Daddy, clanging and banging, as Hulk Hogan would say. He's still lifting 200-300 pounds, all right? Number two, this man has said, I'm not going to stop working WWE. I'm going to keep going till I die. Now, you tell me, you think a man like that is going to let a company that's only been here for a cup of coffee just take his stuff over? Now, if I was AEW, I would be smart. Try it here and there like they're going to do a Friday night Dynamite. That's cool. I respect that because they want to get everybody ready for Double or Nothing. I get that. But I with them. If I was smart, and let me just say this real quick, I would not push Vincent Kennedy McMahon too hard, baby. Because remember, it took 83 weeks to get Bischoff and WCW out, but you know what wound up happening? Them 83 weeks cost them everything, Daddy. They didn't leave well enough alone, and they was all out of business. You see what I'm saying? Because, see, WCW wasn't Eric Bischoff's money. That was big in that Taz money, baby. Let's make something about AEW while everybody is all tipsy and excitable. And don't get me wrong, the black man likes AEW as well. I like A-Dub. I'm cool with it. However, people need to understand something. AEW ain't Cody Rhodes' company. It wasn't his money that got it. So it wasn't the elite that put whatever little money they put in to get this thing started. You need to understand real quick, this is Daddy Khan's money. You feel what I'm saying? Owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tony Khan is just running the company. You feel what I'm saying? He getting a paycheck too, just like everybody else. And one thing about businessmen like but Daddy Khan, he ain't going to let his money get wasted. You feel what I'm saying? When things don't work out, that's a businessman. And he only is going to decide two things. One, I'm going to end this company, dissolve it. Or two, I'm going to sell it to somebody else and try to get something out of it. But for anybody to think that this is a great idea for AEW to just go head on with WWE, who is loaded, they global daddy. I ain't talking about just exposure and be seen on TV. No, daddy. They got offices across the planet. They're trying to make they're making inroads in India, the Middle East. And you best believe, once they hit Japan, daddy, it's going to be game over. Because he's determined. They're going to get to Japan, daddy. Just know that. But with all that being said, I find it strange and odd that people just, I guess people want to see WWE and Vince McMahon stand, which is weird to me. Because all we've ever known for generations, daddy, some of us got grandkids out here watching WWE now. This is a company that's been around for at least 6 or 7 years. We talking about granddaddy McMahon, old McMahon, you know what I'm saying, senior, and then Vincent Kennedy, who took it to a whole new level. You think a man like that with a drive like that, whose philosophy is to get everything out of life, you think he will literally fight you for his business, you feel what I'm saying, if it means it's surviving. You see what I'm saying? If I were the critics, I would chill real good. Because now on one end, it could be great that there's some competition and it could really bring out the best in the E and Vincent Kennedy. However, what you don't want to do is piss this man off. We've seen what happened before. Eric Bischoff seen what happened before.
Whoa, I'm going to stop you right there. This is a different time and era in the WWE. This is a well-traded, public-traded, this is a well-traded shit. This change the attitude there where he can actually have a fire behind his ass and they get away with it.
Well, that's true. I hear that, but... Remember, the X factor in all of this is Vincent Kennedy McMahon. We talking about a McMahon who's still shrewd in business. If I were them, if I was AEW, look, I would say this. Give it another year or two. Give us some time. You just got here. WWE ain't going nowhere. No time soon. They know what they're doing. I know sometimes, you know, we don't like some of the product they put out. Hey, sometimes I'm not crazy about it. I'm not going to lie. But you know what happens at the end of the day? They still standing. They still on top. They still find a way. So all I'm saying is that there is a resilience with that man. I mean, like I said, this man is willing to die doing what he do. I'm waiting for somebody to step up like that. You feel what I'm saying? That's all the black man just want to throw out there. I would caution people. Hold on. And you're right. These are the attitude era times. That is true. But that don't mean the old man is going to stop doing what he has done. And it going to mean he's going to stop having a bulldog tenacity and drive. He still got it. And I just think it would be smart that the fans need to stop trying to push this because you're going to wind up getting worse. You feel me? Because let's just be real. AEW is cool, but they don't do everything great. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
When they having them cage matches and Chris Jericho falling off the top and you falling off plush your daddy, y'all was falling off tables back in the day. I'm just saying.
I mean,
let's be real. The women's division just now getting some form of decency. But don't sit up here and talk about they up there with the Charlotte Flairs and all. No.
I want to bring up what everybody's saying about Charlotte Flair being the women's John Cena, the women's version of John Cena or Roman Reigns.
Oh, please, go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Well, I believe it's true. I believe it's the same difference as look how many championships she done won since 2014. I mean, I'm not saying she don't deserve it and
she didn't work for it.
But everybody's getting sick of her, you know, forever getting the opportunity.
Well, that's true. I hear that. But you know another thing is wrestling fans today had the attention span of a goldfish, Daddy. They get so impatient. They ready for their favorite new person step in and say favorite. They seen the indie days and they automatically want them to be WWE champion. That's not how this works, Daddy. It takes time. Cesaro, time. Everybody saw what we see. But hey, it just some things just didn't quite come together. Now we're seeing something a realistic, better push. Sometimes it just takes time, baby. That's all. And some people, it's just not going to happen overnight. Some people you can't deny, like a Bianca Belair, like a Kurt Angle, or like a Brock Lesnar. Some people just got it instantly. Some people, they have the skill and so on, but it may be something else. So all I'm saying is for people who are saying, oh, she's the female John Cena, hey, I ain't crazy about John Cena, but I got to give respect where it's due. Because whose merchandise still keep getting purchased to this day? Brother John Cena, you feel what I'm saying? Stone Cold still, you feel me? See, people got to understand, there's a business to this wrestling. There's the wrestling and there's the business. And so at the end of the day, people still getting that merch. People still coming to see this person, that person. Roman Reigns is your guy. I wasn't crazy about Roman, you know what I'm saying? But now he's doing something different, a different angle. And it's got my attention, but I'm booing him. I'm telling you that right now. I want to see somebody take out the tribal chief. But at the same time, for people who says that Charlotte has this John Cena complex, if you will, y'all need to understand, that's a bad mama right there. That's a bad chick. Put her in any company, any promotion right now on the planet. And I'm going to tell you right now, she going to come out on top. Remember, she is the daughter of the nature boy Ric Flair. It's in her genes, Daddy. Some stuff I just respect. And I'm not necessarily a Charlotte Flair fan. I just got to get respect where it's due. And she deserves all that. So I'm not surprised when she's in a title picture or not. And now she's working this heel angle, and it's real good. That's what makes her more palatable now. Because now people want to see her lose. But when she wins, all she's doing is egging everybody on. It's the art of the heel, baby. I'm all right with it. I expect more. I'm just waiting for what's that girl next? Becky Lynch to come back. When's she coming back? That's what I want to know. I mean, the women's division, they're doing their thing. You know what I'm saying? I got respect for Charlotte and all that. But to go back to AEW again, you know, they still got some work to do. They're getting somewhere. They're getting some quality. You know, and for once, put the women's AEW wrestling title on Britt Baker. Please, just put it on her. I mean, goodness gracious. Who the heck is
yeah,
the disrespect.
Dude.
But they got off to a horrible start with their women's champions. First, you had Riho, a lady that's like 5'4" nothing and not even 100 pounds. And you want me to believe that she was body slamming and doing moves on a Nyla Rose, a 300-pound animal? Nah, that ain't even realistic. So finally, Britt Baker's finally making something out of herself. That's your champion. Another thing. With regard to AEW, why don't guys bring nerves? Is Cody Rhodes not their champion? I don't get it. Excuse the black man. He is your top star. He has the most mainstream appeal. He's appearing on network TV shows and making all these public appearances. Why is he not your champion? I don't get it. I just think AEW is kind of setting themselves back on purpose, and it's making no sense. If you go compete with WWE, do it the right way. Put top down. I know they don't make sense, but you build from the top down. You feel what I'm saying? Get your best people out there right away. Stop just trying to put people over for the sake of putting them over. You feel what I'm saying? That don't make no sense to me. Get your best people out there because that whether you like Vince McMahon or not, say what you want. But there's a reason why he kept putting John Cena in front of him. There's a reason why he's putting Roman Reigns because those guys bring the good. They deliver. Plain and simple. And if people were smart, if you don't want to see these people no more, the smartest thing for you to do is don't go on social media complaining and trolling. Don't go. Don't buy a ticket to the show. Don't watch the show. Do nothing. Because if there's no reaction, they got to change. That's What's all the black man got to say on that?
Oh, man. I'm telling you, that's how it's going to go, but I want to change gears and ask you, are you going to be watching it? Like I asked everybody, are you going to be watching that Dark Side of the Ring tonight on Nick Gage?
Oh, absolutely, brother. I'm going to stay up a little late past my bedtime and do the same. And if the black man happens to doze off because I'll be extra weary, I got it on DVR because I'm interested in this Nick Gage brother. Because I'm real intrigued. I've been hearing stuff about him. I mean, that man looks hardcore as hardcore can be. So I'm very interested in what this story is going to be about. Because I love that Dark Side show, man. They do some real good stuff.
Oh, yeah, man. Nick Gage, I've actually hung out with the guy before. Drank a couple cold ones with him and hung out with him backstage at a Horseman show like two, three times, maybe, I want to say. But great guy, dude. Just like Teddy Hart was saying, great guy. And then, yeah, man. And, man, can't wait. Oh, let's elaborate on the – have you seen the post that I've been posting about the SWE show, the SWE Fury?
Man, absolutely. Yeah, I seen that. I mean, I want to start looking at SWE now. It's got my attention. I'm a little intrigued.
Oh, they,
I think I'm gonna need to take a little trip down to Dallas myself one day, and just check out.
Hey, like I said, we need to make that happen. We can make that happen a little on later on down this year, because I'm gonna be, you know what I'm saying, on a little hiatus right when my son is born, but right after a few, you know what I'm saying, a few months, maybe 6 months after he's born, we can make a little trip down there, go ahead, you know, hang out with our good friend Teddy Long, you know what I'm saying, and hang out with some of that SWE, hopefully some of that SWE wrestlers.
Oh, absolutely, man. That would be phenomenal. I would love every bit of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Me too. I would love to do that. Which match are you looking more forward to on the post, since you've seen the post that I've been posting on? Because just on the poster that they're posting for the date and the location, they got the World Heavyweight Champion, Charlie Haas. They got their television champion, Rodney Mack. They got Eva Lee's Jazz, their women's champion, Chris James, I think that's her name. Enzo Amore, Big Cass, Theodore Long himself. Hernandez and Molina. That's just like a stack card right there. And those ain't even the matches that are happening. You got Brian Moonshine Mantel versus Max Castinos. And then you got Crimson, which was, I've been a fan from Crimson since the TNA days, versus Jack Dane. You got Hernandez probably doing an open challenge. You got Kaz Axel, formerly known as Big Kaz, with Molina, versus Savage King. You got the women's champion, Christy James is her name, versus Eva Lee. Just like a stacked card they got, man.
That's awesome. Yo, I'm looking forward to that Miranda Gordy versus, what's her name, Martinez. Marty Bell. Yeah, Marty Bell. That looks like it's an interesting match.
Oh,
right,
Marty
there.
Bell,
I'm
yeah.
Really looking forward to that.
The match I'm looking forward to be honest, I mean, no taking away from the heavyweight champion, Charlie Haas. But, I mean, I'm looking forward to the Crimson versus Dane. Like I said, I've been a fan of Crimson. He can do it all in the ring, man. He's a heavy hitter, but he's been wrestling for years. Like, oh, I want to say probably 20 years. And I've kind of seen his indie stuff, but I'm really familiar with his stuff in TNA.
Awesome. Absolutely. That's phenomenal, man. That's some really, like, this SWE, I've been seeing the names and seeing clips here and there. So it sounds like they got a good product, a good show coming along, you know what I'm saying? So the black man is down. Oh, wait. I got to get a phone back over to Brother CEO because I did really interrupt him. So if y'all excuse me, I'm going to go on back into the lab.
Hey, do you think I'll be able to ask him about the Dark Side of the Ring and stuff?
Oh, absolutely, man. You know, he's all ears, man. I mean, he's a very talkative and open businessman. Unlike myself, I'm more of the silent type. But he'll definitely talk and mix it up with you. You feel what I'm saying? Hey, Brother CEO, here you go. Hey, guys, I'm back.
Oh, man, how's it going, man? Man, I didn't know that Coco was going to, you know, come out to the show, man. That's always, you know, that's always a great time when Brother Coco comes on to the show.
Oh yeah, that was a big. You know, he's a passionate guy. You know, he's a silent type, believe it or not. But you know, he loves getting on the radio. He loves talking to the friends. You know, to the good brothers as he calls y'all.
Now
you know,
I cannot wait until his birthday, Coco T-Ware's birthday, man. Can you elaborate on a little bit on the event that's going to be going down on Coco T-Ware's birthday? Because
yeah.
I cannot wait to make that.
Oh, so check this out, man. It's going to be. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have some friends and family there. Well, we're going to have some planners, have some barbecue, you know, play some good live music. You know, I mean, I'm even going to be playing some. You know, I'm a musician in my own right as well. And so
okay.
We're going to play some gospel. We're going to play some R&B. We're going to play some, you know, well, I'm not, but Coco is going to be rocking to the, you know, to the wrestling theme stuff. You know, I'll probably be on the sideline. If I'm not helping out cooking or whatever. But it's going to be a phenomenal time, man. I mean, it's a milestone year, you know, turning 40. That's a great,
okay.
great milestone. You're really beginning to live.
Yes,
so sir. It's going to be great, man. I might have a couple wrestlers come through. I might have a special indie guest to come by.
Oh,
might even MC.
Can you elaborate with that? Can you elaborate with that? Because, I mean, we can make something happen.
Well, I mean, I've already talked to him a couple of times. I'm just going to give you a hint here. You ain't got to give it away. But the brother has a golden aura when he walks in the room, if you catch
him. Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to give out too much.
So is that 24 karat off?
Well, mum's the word. You know, as a CEO, I got to... You know, I bought a little something there, but you know,
I understand.
You
I understand business,
like
man. Cause, I understand what that
you know,
is. Cause,
yeah.
We both
so,
we
you know,
both in the same we both on the same level.
Yeah. You know, you might get a little bit of that up in there, and you know, you're gonna meet some of the friends and the family of Coco. You know what I'm saying? The sensational one will be there. You know, her full regalia and this, you know, regal. You know,
I forgot to ask him how is it.
Say it again.
I forgot to ask Coco. How is the queen? How is the sensational one?
Oh, the Khaleesi? Okay, Faye. She's doing great. You know, she's doing her thing, mingling, you know, with the little people, as she say, the peasants. I mean, those are her words, not mine. You know, supposed to be Dungeons and Dragons Day. That's like a community day for her when she goes out to the community and, you know, she pities them with her presence or whatever. These are the kind of things she says. I don't. But, you know, she'll be mingling with the people doing her community thing. You know, the people appreciate her for that. You know, they just can't upset her, though. They got to let her win, because if she loses, you know, it might be off with their heads, and we can't have that.
No, I understand that. We don't want that. We'd like to be in the great presence, the good side of of the queen. That's what we like to
do.
Man,
I always try to tell Coco, like, yo, man, don't talk about Nia Jax in front of the queen like that, because you know how she gets. She gets jealous. She don't like that
man.
Kind of stuff. She's number one. She can't be number two.
Man.
So, you know, I'm working with him on that, you know, because he's a very passionate guy.
Man, you know, since it ain't Coco on the line, this is Mr. CEO himself. I mean, what do you think about Nia Jax? Do you feel the same way that Mr. Coco T. Ware does about Nia Jax? Can you talk about that or no?
Well, I'll say this. She's a phenomenal talent. You know, she's a phenomenal talent. She's a nice-looking young lady, though. I'm not going to lie. Hey, she may be a plus-size woman. That don't mean she can't be attractive. Somebody like her. You know what I'm saying? Somebody find attraction. So, you know, and then she's a monster in that ring. That's a tough lady.
Hold on. Can I say something to you, man? Can you keep a secret?
Yeah, I will.
You promise?
I promise. Come on, I'm the CEO. I can't reveal
wait,
anything.
Wait. Okay. Because I didn't want to tell Coco this. I didn't want to tell Coco this. But I think Nia Jax is kind of hot, too. I think she's kind of hot.
Whoa,
She got a big behind. I heard you don't cuss, but she got a big behind, man.
Oh, man. You know, I am so glad Coco's back in the lab, brother, working on that bass, because if he heard that, oh, he red hot. You got heat with him all day. He gonna have Macho Man jealousy.
Can you keep?
We can't have that.
Can you keep that secret?
Look, dog, I don't forgot what you just said. I ain't Look.
All right, cool.
I ain't no troublemaker. Cool. I don't, hey, snitches
right,
get stitches. That's what I heard.
Okay.
I'm out.
Wait. Did I hear some foot? Did I hear some footsteps in there?
No. That ain't Coco. It might be the Khaleesi trying to the bathroom or something. I don't know. Probably getting some water or one of her servants is getting her a drink, you know, stuff like that. She's doing queen stuff, Khaleesi stuff, you know, stuff like that. But, yeah, anyway, just kind of going back to the party real quick. It's just going to be fun. You know, we got a decent-sized backyard where people can spread out, you know what I'm saying? You know, people worried about distancing and all of that. You know, Coco's thing was, because some people might be concerned, but his thing is, look, life is precious and short. We're not going to wait till something allegedly clears up or if it has or hasn't. His thing is, I'm going to live life because he ain't seen people who said, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this at this time, and then before you know it, they're gone. So it's like his thing is, we're going to live life. And, you know, we're not going to fear or worry about nothing. We're going to get out here and enjoy ourselves. And, you know, we're all grown men and women. We make our choices, and we hold ourselves responsible for them. So that's his thing, man. He's just about living life and not being afraid to celebrate it in the moment. Ain't no need to delay nothing. We don't have to be. And plus, you know, he just loves people, man. He loves his friends, his families. You know, he loves the K-Fade Nation that's out there. You know what I'm saying? He got love for y'all. I mean, look, the day he met y'all.
Oh, man, we love Brother Coco, and we love everybody at K-Fade the Band. We can't wait to meet them. Me and Brother Greg, we can't wait to meet the whole band and meet ourselves, a good sir. And Brother Coco, you know, he's a great friend of ours. We can't wait to see him again. But, yeah, man, I can't wait.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a phenomenal thing. Back on the wrestling stuff, man. On the wrestling tip, dude, did you hear about Bray Wyatt? That he may still be grieving over Luke Harper's death.
I did not hear that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not confirmed, but word is, I forget, some dirt sheet group or whatever. I don't try to keep too much with that kind of stuff. However, the reason is really part of the reason why the WrestleMania match went the way it did, because I guess he just really wasn't in the headspace. Maybe he's sad, maybe he's depressed.
Right.
I mean, you know. But it makes more sense now, in my opinion, if true. But to me, the whole Bray Wyatt thing, Alexa Bliss and all that, I mean, I don't mind it. I'm cool with it. It's a journey. You feel what I'm saying? It's a long, nice. I mean, I remember back in the 80s and 90s when you had feuds and, you know, twists and turns and stories where it went on for weeks to months. You know
Who was your favorite? Okay, I'm going to ask you something. So if you want to bring up the, you know, the feud and stuff. Who was your favorite feud back in the WWF era, Attitude Era?
Oh, man. I'm trying to think. Let's
besides
see here.
Besides Brock and Austin. Besides Brock and Austin.
Ooh, I got to go back. Let's see. Yeah, because Brock and Austin, that's a given. Shoot. There's so many, man, because... That's the thing about wrestling in the 80s and 90s. I mean, even me.
Attitude
Era. Okay. Oh, well, shoot. I love the, you know what I really enjoy? The DX Nation Domination feud. Just.
Okay.
That was a lot of fun.
I agree with you. You know what my actually favorite feud was all the way until the 2000s? And people are going to, you know, probably... agree with me or disagree with me, but Mankind versus Triple H, they even go back from 96, 96, all the way until the Hell in a Cell days, where Triple H is the one that retired Mick Foley all the way until he came back to WrestleMania 2000. But Triple H and Mick Foley, dude, they have had some trilogies and some great fucking banging matches.
Yes, they did. You know what? I had to, cause you know what I like to do when... Whenever one of the big four pay-per-views are coming up, I sometimes like to go back and watch some old ones, you know, just kind of get my mind ready. You know, I'm excited. You know, so I'll watch some old, like, previous SummerSlams or Royal Rumbles or what have you. And I think it was the Royal Rumble where Foley and Triple H, they had a match. That match was wild, dog. I was like, man, they going, and then they had the Hell in the Cell. That was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Just crazy.
No,
crazy.
My favorite one was the Royal Rumble 2000.
Yeah, I was thinking of that one. That's one I was thinking about.
That one was Cactus Jack
versus
Mick Foley. Even though Mick Foley came up short, Mick Foley was Cactus Jack. It was Cactus Jack versus
Triple H. Yeah,
versus Triple H. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's the opposites in a strange way.
Mm-hmm.
They were opposite, so you wouldn't think, oh, these two won't have a great match. You know, you don't know. You're thinking, oh, these two aren't going to have a great match. Who would put this together in?
You know what, Matt?
Doggone
it. You know what? I can watch that right now like if it was a fresh matchup and love that whole freaking show or that whole freaking that whole match.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel you, dude. Good stuff. And then plus with Foley or Mankind. Whichever one.
You know what else was a good? You know what else was a good one? Was Survivor Series 99, the triple threat match when Big Show won his first WWE championship.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's one. We don't talk enough about that one. But yeah, I mean to see Big Show win that one.
You know what we should do? You know what we should do is I mean, I'm talking too soon, but I mean, you know what we can do? Me, you, Greg, and possibly you know Martez once in a while is do like a Sunday night heat type of thing. Go back in the time machine and put our opinion, watch like a pay-per-view or something or the show and give our opinion.
Yeah, do like a watch-along maybe?
Yeah.
Like leading up to, yeah.
We all watch the same thing. Probably fast forward to our the matches that we think that our favorite are or one that we eat, you know, how we can narrow it down is we each have to vote on the same match or something
like
that.
I'm just
talking, you know what I'm saying? But that could be something good.
Oh, that'd be dope, dude. Like, oh, man. Like, if you want to just kind of push it down the line, like SummerSlam would be perfect, especially if.
You know what? And we can do the throwback edition towards like a week or two, maybe three. Maybe we can do the whole month of SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Up until SummerSlam night, we do our final favorite SummerSlam, our number one. We'll do our four favorite SummerSlams, leading from four to one. And we'll do that SummerSlam day.
Oh, that'd be dope, man. Because if it's true. SummerSlam could be booked at Madison in front of a live crowd.
Okay.
I heard the state of New York.
All right, I'm going to ask you, what's your favorite SummerSlam main event?
Oh, SummerSlam main event. Okay, I got to take all the way back to the 80s, baby. Hey, 80. My favorite was the tag team match between Hogan. I think it was Hogan and Brutus against Macho King and Zeus with Sensational Sherry.
Okay.
Man.
Okay.
That was never a dull moment. Even though Zeus may not have been, you know, the super skilled wrestler, the thought as a kid, like, dude, for real? I thought he was just acting in the movies. They had your attention as a child. That was a fun match. I agree with you on that one.
That one's a great one. But you know what's mine?
What?
Mine is 1998. Undertaker versus Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, that was a great one. Yes, it was. Dope match. You know what I remember very well from that match? When Kane came out and he wanted to intervene and Undertaker stopped him. For some reason, that always sticks in my mind.
Yeah.
That part just sticks in my mind. That was interesting. Interesting portion of the whole storytelling gig. So, yeah, that was some good stuff, man. Oh, even like with Ultimate Warrior and Rick Rude. So that was another good feud that people don't talk enough about. I mean, Rick Rude is just a dope wrestler, period, man. We don't sing his praises enough. And the way he could sell and the way he could, the way he was just such a bad guy. What I also love is when these guys made public appearances, like on the Arsenio Hall show. Man, Rick Rude was hilarious. Him and Bobby? No, that was overkill. That's overkill.
No, I agree. And, dude, I want to also ask, like I told Coco, if I could ask, are you going to be watching The Dark Side of the Ring? And what do you think about Nick Gage? Since, oh, I don't know if you know about Nick Gage, besides if Coco told you anything.
You know, I know a little bit, because, you know, me and Coco, we work closely together. We work a lot, so sometimes our schedules are similar. It's a little different, but it's kind of similar. So, unfortunately, I know a little bit about Gage. You know, I heard a lot from you guys over time. I've seen some things over him. It looks like their brand of wrestling, like they legit fight each other. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely right. I can actually elaborate on that. And if you want to check out my YouTube channel, sir, Jeff Match Wrestling Podcast 313. I got some matches of Nick Gage. I got one when he faces when he defended the Horace Slam Heavyweight Championship or Deathmatch Championship versus Chuck Stein, the Dirty White Boy. And then I got one where he's facing the undisputed king of pro wrestling, Briar Wellington. And those are some great matches.
Wellington. Yeah, I know a little bit about Wellington. I believe I've seen him in a couple of shows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's at the Pro Wrestling All-Stars and everywhere else, Horse Slam and anywhere
mm-hmm.
else you can. Mm-hmm. You already know.
It's good seeing.
Coco
it's
knows
good seeing
a lot
those
about
guys
him.
Come up. Oh, yeah. He Coco, he knows stuff, man. He's into it. I mean, ever since he stepped foot into a indie show about 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, he went to, in Ferndale, saw Mr. One Night Only. It was his birthday show. He was the first indie show I ever went to. And my man, Mr. One Night Only, JP Ono. Dope show.
Okay.
Had
so
much fun watching it. Yeah, man, I enjoyed it. Really, really enjoyed it. And I got to talk to him. I got to talk to his lovely wife. Beautiful young lady. And I remember looking. I thought she was a wrestler. I was like, I had wifey with me. I'm like, dang, look at her calves. She must be a wrestler. She don't even wrestle, dog. I was just cracking up when I realized that. I'm glad I didn't say nothing to her. I thought she wrestled. But at any rate, that was my very first indie show I had ever gone to. And ever since then, I just kept trying to go at least 2-3 times out the year whenever I get the chance. Because, you know, when you're the CEO, you get busy. And it's hard to catch so many shows. But this year, I've been doing it more often. Because, you know, I really enjoy it. So this summer, I'm trying to make it a plan to make sure at least 1 or 2 times every month in the summer to attend an indie wrestling show. I've already been to, like, what, 3-4 already this year. Already.
Nice.
So I'm loving that I'm able to make these shows this time. But, you know, you got to try. You got to make a better effort to plan these kinds of things.
You know what? I was going to say, because I might not be able to attend so many shows, but I am going to be attending the 21st that they're going to do at the Play Atlantis. But maybe when my son is born, I don't know if Coco told you about my son being born in the beginning of the week of June.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you, man. I'm having a boy. Thank you.
Awesome. Beautiful.
Yes, sir.
Day-Day Junior out here.
Yes, sir, the Southwest Junior. Southwest Junior. But another thing I was going to say, maybe if Greg needs a co-host once in a while, maybe Mr. Coco T. Ware can fill in for the Southwest Texan.
Oh, man. You know what? I can't wait to share that with Coco. I think he'd be flattered. He'd be honest. Now, he gonna probably feel a little intimidated because, you know, he thinks the world of you, Brother Jay. He's like, man, he's a big shoe. I got to come up. He said, I'm only in a size 11. He said, you a giant out here. So he got some big shoes to fill.
No, man. Coco, Mr. Coco T. Ware always got that charisma, man. He's full of fire, full of pipe, man. And I couldn't ask for somebody else to fill in for the Southwest Texan than Brother Coco T. Ware. I thought he was a perfect fit to replace the Southwest Texan while he's gone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If he agrees to it, I think he will hold it down admirably, and he will give it his best. And, you know, him and Greg DeMarc, you know, I think they hit, you know, y'all, he likes both of y'all, man. So he just hits it off really well. And then, you know, even if Martez pops in, you know, got to have Brother Martez, you know, he got to jump in every now and again. He got to get in there, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it'll be fun. A whole lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Man, next week for sure, man, is I guess I'm going to announce it right now in the middle of the show is that next week on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, it's only fitting that we have a Rated R Rated show because we're going to have the Suicidal Genocidal, former ECW champion, the Suicidal One, Sabu.
Oh, snap, it's going to go down. Business picked up.
Oh, yeah. Everybody that didn't know, now you know. You better FIO if you didn't know. The Southwest Texan is bringing on Sabu to the show. So, Brother Tez, what do you think about that?
Man, honestly, man, I'm really excited, man, that you were able to get Sabu to come on this show. For years and years, I've been trying to get him to come on one of my shows, so I'm just thankful that you were able to get him so he'll be on next week. So I'm excited, man. I'm excited to hear what he has to say and hear you interview him.
Man, I'm going to try to pull. Listen to this. I'm not going to say I'm fooling myself, but I'm going to try to pull the unpullable. Maybe I'm going to see this weekend. If I can see if he can pull RVD on the line also, even if it's whatever.
Oh, shoot.
Oh. That'll be
let's
dope.
Let's go for it all, baby. Shoot for the moon.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to see.
Be careful, though. I know.
Listen, guys. you guys know as well as I know that RVD and Sabu are still connected some way, somehow, because there's the indies, and they're always in the indies together.
Right.
Yes, they are.
I think RVD and Sabu are family. I think they're always connected. They have that, you know what I mean? Even if, when we weren't doing the show, even when, like, you don't see Day-Day and Greg together at wrestling shows, Greg and Day-Day talk every day. You know what I mean?
Oh, fuck.
I believe that RVD and Sabu is very similar, lifelong friendship, where I gotta believe they talk every day.
So Greg, I didn't know you were online. Welcome back, brother. What do you think? You think I can pull that if I ask Sabu to see what's up?
Hey, that's definitely could be exciting.
That could be an extreme.
Listen, guys.
Hey, Brother Greg, I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off, but listen. I don't think if I could pull that off, I don't think that the Rated R would be Rated R enough. I think that would be an episode, a special episode.
Rated
X. Open Talk Radio, the Flash 313, to have the Deathmatch Wrestling Podcast come from YouTube onto the Open Talk Radio and have Sabu and RVD, if I can get RVD.
I'm a huge RVD fan. Like, my three favorite wrestlers at one point were Rey Mysterio Jr., when he was on WCW Nitro, and RVD and Sabu. Those were my three favorite wrestlers in the world.
That's some dope. I
want to say mine was RVD, The Rock, and Stone Cold.
Oh, good ones. Okay, so here's my all-time favorite, Hulk Hogan, number one. All-time. Always be my favorite. Number two, got to give it up for a man, American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. The promos alone.
Oh, yeah.
Draw me in, baby. And then number three.
This is
the baby face of all baby faces. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
John Cena.
That was a bad man.
John Cena.
John Cena.
John Cena.
Okay, hey, Greg, I asked Brother T. Ware. Wait, I asked Brother T. Ware, bro, what was your favorite Attitude Era match? Or feud, besides Stone Cold and Triple A, or Stone Cold and The Rock?
Honestly, The Rock, Triple H, and the whole feud, and I'm talking ladder match, SummerSlam, Intercontinental Championship, Triple H, the game. That feud and that story went for you. I mean, there were a lot of good ones. Kane and The Undertaker. Right there, I was on, heard that part, that one's definitely on the list, but for me, it's definitely Triple H and The Rock.
No, number one, okay, because I said Triple H and Mick Foley from when he faced Cactus Jack,
that
Matt
one's right
Guy,
there,
and,
too, in the Attitude
all,
Era.
All the three faces, no, when they faced each other back from the 96 all the way to 2000 when Triple H retired him. So when he went back
if
to the main event of
WrestleMania
in that fatal four-way.
If I could change some history, the answer would actually be, Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker.
Okay. You know what? If I can put a match in time in the Attitude Era before Shawn Michaels went out, or if he would have stayed in and didn't get injured, this is a what if situation, okay? What if Shawn Michaels didn't get injured? He went on to hold the WWE Championship until The Rock became The Rock, like the electrifying Rock of the 99, the 98. And face off for the WWF Championship, dude. That would be a what if and a dream match that I always wanted to see.
And what if Bret Hart never left? I like the what if scenario. We could do a whole show a week on what if.
Yeah.
Yes.
We could.
Okay,
it's a fun topic of conversation.
Yes, I got one what if here. This one might be a tear.
Go ahead, brother.
I got to bring it up. What if Owen Hart didn't have that accident? What if he didn't have that accident? He survived it. What would his career would have been like? Well, what would
he would have been the WWF champion.
Yeah,
seriously?
You know what I heard?
That guy was criminally underbooked. They should have pushed him to the fucking moon the moment that Brett left.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm hearing?
I agree.
And I believe Brett said this, y'all. He didn't want to be champion. He wasn't interested in being WWE champion. I don't think he wanted that
responsibility. Can I say something, guys? And can I intervene? I'm sorry to cut you guys off.
Go ahead.
But what if, and I'm not
the bag,
and I'm pulling the strings again. And I'm pulling the strings again. I can call Teddy Hart and see if we can get Bret Hart on the show too.
Whoa! Woo-wee!
Definitely one of my childhood favorites. My favorite in a certain era.
Exactly.
You know, they call it the new generation
era.
I'm gonna
see if I can make that happen, guys.
When I see the Winged Eagle, I think of Bret Hart. And that's my favorite belt.
It's between him and Shawn Michaels for me.
Yeah, I hear that. I don't blame you. That's some awesome times, dude. Dope wrestling,
you know what?
Dude.
And between those were my favorite two when they were going at it for the championship. And I'm gonna imagine. I really, to be honest, I want to get Shawn Michaels because we're from the same hometown of San Antonio, Texas.
Oh. That's right. You got to get the homeboy.
I just got you.
That's the homeboy right there. Got to get the homeboy.
Man, imagine, though, if I can get Teddy Hart to bring on Bret Hart. I'm going to work on that, guys. I'm going to work on that. That's my next. That's my next goal. Probably going. You know what I'm saying?
I hear that, brother. That's the one. And
oh,
that's two.
Greg. Greg.
Yes. Yes.
I found a co-host for you when I go on hiatus for, with my, when my son's born.
Uh-oh.
Coco T. Ware is not going to be, he's not on the line. The CEO of the People Cancer Fan, the band, is on the line. But he's going to let brother Coco T. Ware, he's going to let Coco T. Ware know that he's going to be co-hosting. He's going to be the interim co-host. While I'm gone, on the Radio Wrestling Podcast 1-3, with you, Greg DeMarc.
Definitely going to miss you, but like I said, even if you don't see us at shows or hear us on the radio, we talk every day. So I won't miss you too much.
Oh,
so
man.
I'll still be
with
you.
Know.
Well, you know, Coco likes both y'all, man. He loves he loves hollering at y'all. He said, "They're my brothers right there." I said, "I hear you, brother Coco." So I'm definitely gonna run it by him because you know he's back in the lab working on his bass guitar, prepping for the July 10th birthday bash.
Do
so,
you think you could bring on Coco? You think you can bring on Coco? I don't think I can hold this secret so long, man.
You gotta be able to go through the queen. And it takes a special person to get through the queen.
Right. I mean, like I said, Coco's an easygoing guy, man. Like I said, he likes y'all. So I think there's a very good chance that you all can, you know, snag him for this period of time to fill in for brother Day-Day. Because he already said, man, there's some big shoes to fill. Like if he had to, like, you know, replace one of y'all, he's like, that's some big shoes to fill. He only wears size 11. You know what I'm saying? So he's just like, I gotta walk into that. Yeah, I'm gonna do my best. That's what he would say. But I'm pretty sure it's gonna be a yes. But you know, when Coco's working hard in the lab, you know, he be in his own world. But he'll definitely make time for you guys. He's like, I like them guys anytime, any place, any day. So I can't wait to share the news with him. And knowing him, he's probably gonna be so excited. He might just jump on to the Rated R 313 podcast page on Facebook, and he might just do a kind of little promo or something. Knowing him.
Oh man, yeah, that'd be great if we can get that. You know, we'll be happy to post it. I'm glad that I let everybody know the same thing, that Coco T. Ware will be taking the co-host of the Rated R Wrestling Podcast with Greg DeMarc while the Southwest Texan goes on a hiatus because his son's gonna be born and my son. Well, I say he. Well, I'm talking to myself like I'm a third person, but I call it Chris Jericho. I was built. Well, my son's going to be born, and I got to, you know, take some time off to, you know what I'm saying, be with my son.
That's right. Little Day-Day, man. That's going to be awesome.
Those are days you can never get back. Those are precious times, man, when they're first born.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that, man.
Yeah, I have three babies, and none of them were babies very long, and each one, it goes faster, man.
Yeah,
I hear that. So,
you know, I had a nephew in my life, like you have a niece in your life, and, you know, they grow up fast. Your own, they grow up even faster. You think you know because you had babies around you and watched them grow into children, you know, but, yeah.
Yeah.
Precious time, man, savor them.
So, Daddy, I got to know, is this your first son?
I have a.
Is this the first boy you're having?
Yeah, this is my first son.
Okay, cool. That's going to be awesome, man. Great experience. I'm going to talk to Coco and the Khaleesia Kayfabe and see if they can go through the Royal Kayfabe Treasure and send a nice little baby shower gift, you know?
Oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. That'd be great.
Yeah, The queen loves babies, man. She loves babies all day. She loves them. So, you know, that's one thing. She will spare no expense. She will always be kind to. She don't see them as peasants. She sees babies as just precious little ones. And so she adores them. But, you know, grown-ups, they're peasants in her eyes, you know.
Yeah, at least the babies can get over with the queen.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's not hard. But the Nia Jax, that's another story. We ain't going to talk too loudly about that. We ain't going to talk too loudly about that, but, you know, because the Queen's ears are everywhere. You feel me?
Indeed.
Yeah, we don't want to set her off already in a good enough mood.
Yeah, but I can't wait to Coco's birthday, and we're almost out of time.
I can't wait till Sunday, New Breed in Westland at the Token Lounge. That's where we'll be.
Brother Greg,
another
thing I wanted to talk to you about, is doing like a Sunday show, like an old pay-per-view show, like watch old pay-per-views and give our opinion and see if we could, like, peep stuff out, maybe, you know what I'm saying, whatever.
That sounds good. We, I don't know if I could do it every Sunday, but some Sundays for sure.
That's fine. We'll just figure it out.
Oh, yeah,
well, FIO. Mr. Steve Rivera said.
Oh, you said something about Steve Rivera. You gonna bring him in too? That'd be cool.
Here we go.
Just don't have him around Atlas Hightower.
Atlas Hightower, Mr. Run This Ring.
Yeah.
The greatest cruiser core champion of all time.
All time, yes sir, all time. I got the T-shirt somewhere in my house.
Man, shoot. But yeah, guys, I guess we're gonna close up shop for the week. We got about 3 minutes. But
all right.
Yeah. See if you can talk to Coco T. Ware about co-hosting and we'll announce the whole thing next week before Sabu is interviewed.
Oh, snap. Okay, well, I'm jumping on it, man, as soon as I see him tonight.
Maybe Mr. Coco T. Ware can ask Sabu a question or two.
You know, anything is possible, man. You don't say never in this business. So, you know Coco's going to be ready, so...
I'm gonna ask him. What did he think about the Nick Gage Dark Side of the Ring if he's not on there or if he's on there?
Oh, that's
I'll definitely have seen that by then.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So maybe it'll happen. But guys, I guess we're gonna cut it loose right here. From the Southwest Texas, my brother Greg, the CEO from the Kayfabe Band. We love you guys. We'll see you next week with Sabu.
All right. Take care.